Right. Impact, the story so far, is what I've had the time contribution. We're looking at stories of impact, and it's my role to start off with the impact, and then I'll hand over to Gavin, who's going to talk to us about story.
The story is really
fairly straightforward. The theory of impact is that excellence is nothing. I think this is a very hard message for academics. We need to be as brilliant, incisive, and perfectly formed as we like. But that is not going to get you any marks in the board. That's something which is now taken for granted. And I think the devaluation of excellence as a concept is familiar to you all. If you're not excellent, you don't exist, as it were, in the academic world. So that's not going to be sufficient. And the ivory tower is the metaphor that everybody is very familiar with, which is the boom word, which we all have to avoid being tarred with. Now, farewell to the ivory tower is actually quite difficult. It's something which, as academics, we have found a challenge. And I thought I'd just offer you an ivory tower. Those of you who've had children might recall that this is the ivory tower in The Neverending Story, which I also thought was quite inappropriate. Now, as ivory towers go, I'd quite like to live there, I don't know about you, but I think this is part of the difficulty we have. But actually, the ivory tower is hugely attractive. But we are not going to be allowed to live there. So, what's the theory of the alternative? Well, Robert Young dredged up the word that was used in the 18th and 19th centuries for universities, the crestomatic university. Which essentially has the implication that teaching and research should serve social purposes. I guess when the term was invented, research wasn't really a concept. It was study, whether study as student or study as scholar. The idea of the crestomatic university is that we should be useful. And obviously Jeremy Bentham is one of the key figures in rooting this notion of the useful university. Now, serving social objectives and being useful are not quite the same thing, though they're obviously closely linked. The social objectives could be identified by any external social body, the state, institutions in civil society, the church, I guess it was, to a large extent in these days, professions. And those external, what we would now call stakeholders, are the people who define what the social objectives are that they look for universities attaining. Producing useful knowledge is the other side of that coin, that there is an obligation on us to present what we do as potentially useful to society, without having to chase particular social objectives. We can point to the work we do and say, well, actually, this is useful to somebody somewhere, and identify who that useful purpose might belong to. In the most recent period, the relationship between the university and the state has become closer and tighter, so that the objectives of social usefulness are now much more crystallised in the notion of accountability. Now, accountability in its very broad sense, is being answerable to society as a whole or the state for all the resources which are being put into university from a range of sources. More narrowly, and this is really something which has become more and more narrowly, accountability is about, let's see your accounts. How are you spending the money? Are you providing value for the money? And value determined in various fairly specific ways. So universities are now very accountable, and it's not an argument we can resist because, well, every country in the world pours quite a significant proportion of its public expenditure into its universities. And
it's not reasonable for us to say, well, we're not going to be accountable.
The practice, then, one or two examples of how this plays through.
Looking first of all at the broader national level, research assessment.
I think this research assessment has focused the whole sector on the issue of impact.
And Hefke's recent pilot exercise on the REF made this statement, which is quite a crystallisation of what it thinks it's doing, that research assessment should include significant additional recognition where high-quality research, excellence, has contributed to the economy, society, public policy, culture, the environment, international development, or quality of life.
That's quite a range of areas of society to address,
but it certainly confirms the fact that excellent, high-quality research is actually the starting point. It's certainly not the finishing point. Significant additional recognition, well, you know, I'm sure as well as I do, all the debates about what proportion of research assessment judgments is going to be allocated to some measure of impact. So that's what Hefke thinks it's doing. And of course, why that's floating people's minds is because potentially quite a lot of money is riding on the way that that allocation is carried out.
Second example, again, this is AHRC, the research council that quite a lot of us in this room would expect to address the support for our research projects. They are particularly conscious that the arts and humanities are widely regarded as being decorative but not particularly useful. And so their strategy is to create a public opinion and create a shared culture within the academic world which recognises impact. The ESRC has a very similar approach. They are still feeling the sting of the Thatcher years, when sociology was regarded not only as useless, but positively dangerous. And they are reconstructing a sense of social impact. Of course, this is a little bit of a lack of belief, chasing impact can be quite a difficult and indirect thing. Probably some of you have seen this from the THE a little while ago by PhD comments piled higher and deeper. And this is, you trace the circle of a piece of very theoretical research which gradually works its way through society and has impacts, but not necessarily the impacts that the geek on the laptop at the start of the cycle would have predicted or indeed wanted. Closer to home, looking at the institutional level, this really is the area which preoccupies most of us most of the time. The REF, fine. But the Dean and the Vice Chancellor are there every day on your back. And they are looking for institutional impact. It's all very well you being a brilliant unit of area studies or languages or whatever, but how are you helping the university's student recruitment, its student satisfaction, an increasingly important indicator? Do the students like what you're doing, and are they saying so in the surveys that are being carried out? Are you attracting research funding from the research councils, from European agencies, from private enterprise, from philanthropic foundations, etc.? Are you bringing money in? Financial solvency. This is a bare financial solvency, because vice chancellors are quite capable of carrying big deficits, in particular departments, if they feel motivated to do so. And financial solvency is one line of protection, but it's not the only thing that counts. If you've got a deficit of £100,000, your VC can either say, £100,000, well, see what you can do to pay it off over the next 5 years, or we can't afford you anymore. And it's a political rather than a financial decision in these cases. Don't need to emphasize the ratings, but since today CAGE has just revealed its world rankings of universities, it's clear that this is becoming a much more salient preoccupation for university managers. The fact that the CAGE has even invented an app for your iPhone to reflect its ratings in all their glory, says to you that there is a lot of investment in this, and most universities, in fact, have its office pouring all the ratings and giving advice and recommendations on how you can improve them for your university. The final one, less tangible, but reputation, local, national, international reputation. I put TINA there because there is no alternative to demonstrating that you are having a positive impact for your institution.
Well, there is an alternative, but it's Camus' alternative in Le Mythe de Sisyphe. This is an example of the sort of farewell note that a department might get for failing to demonstrate its institutional impact. So this, as it were, a PPC lends a statement along these lines. At the same time as renewing itself in this way, the Department of X, just like all our other academic units, is expected to be research intensive, good results in our new rep, and to be producing work of international well-being quality. No downsizing or excision of activity is welcomed by a university. However, at present, the department is financially unsustainable at current levels of staffing and student recruitment. And then a little on for what we said, but we're still carrying on being into university. So that's the sort of presentation that you have to avoid. I don't know whether any of you recognise the words in this text, but they are not untypical, and they're also not my invention. So, you need to make a non-academic case. You need to develop examples of the impact you make on local communities, which might be on your local city. If you could help your local football team to win matches, well, that's brilliant. If you can simply provide some useful service to the local NHS, that's also potentially useful as well. And don't forget,
that your local community is full of very influential and powerful people who can help you or harm you. And a lot about impact is developing networks of supporters and neutralising enemies. But that's another set of issues. So if you can demonstrate your impact on local communities and you can assemble supportive stakeholders,
that's very helpful.
Looking at the wider society, all of the funding councils and research councils and indeed many associations have endless lists of the kind of impact which you could expect to be making in the wider society. Some of them are in your resource pack, but there's tons more on the web once you start to look. Political impact, are you feeding information into policymakers to improve their decision making? Economic impact, well, employability, but are you doing anything that firms would find useful and enable them to survive or indeed make a profit? And probably particularly important for our kind of subject areas, the cultural impact. Are you improving the quality of life, improving the cultural environment in any discernible way? And the more you can demonstrate that you are doing one or more of these things, the more effectively you can say to universities, we have this wider impact, and therefore we're important, not just an internally facing
academic unit. Of course, you might dream up headline-catching ways of doing research. This is another PhD Comics cartoon. And certainly the one that resonated me was chocolate. If you can find some kind of research study outcome which proves that chocolate is good for people and they should eat more of it, you will be a source of delight to many people. That's another little bit of light relief. But it's probably as important in real terms to make the case for your academic impact and to produce good examples of how you have been successful in, for example, enhancing student learning. So maybe exciting new courses for a student who has really excelled in a project and won a national prize, for example. Universities are trumpeting these things all the time. Don't ignore prizes, because these are very useful markers of esteem and impact. Obviously, your impact on the national and economic and international academic community is going to be extremely important. But that only goes so far with Vice Chancellors, and you will not need much reminding that from time to time universities decide to close departments, and they will typically get one or less from people elsewhere in the academic community. Making the case that this department is nationally, internationally vital, but Vice Chancellors only have half an ear to that kind of argument. And it's never the decisive argument. Well, almost never. I think that I can only think of one example where an academic representation has reversed a department of culture. And that was when you've got to remember a Nobel Prize winner threatened to sell his academic industry. But there's not many of us can wheel out Nobel Prize. And no university can afford to lose its Nobel Prize winner, because they will slump down the Jalton international rating.
So your impact, academic impact on the individual institution is also something that you need to develop messages about. Not just at the outside, so things are very useful, but also we are really useful to the university and are making an impact, for example, in language and intercultural expertise, which may be nothing more than teaching Italian to the PVC for research who has a villa in Tuscany, but an asset not to be neglected, or it may be offering intercultural communication, cultural briefings, assistance with international visits, and that sort of thing. And if you don't do them, obviously you can't present your impact in that area. They're definitely things that are worth thinking about doing, so that you then subsequently can say, yes, we are an asset to the university in this way.
Cultural enrichment,
well, it may only be the French play, but of course not many departments now, we're not French play.
But there will be other areas of cultural enrichment, maybe public lectures, maybe exhibitions, and so on. May even simply be conferences, which are academic things, but which have an impact on the institution. And your local conference office will certainly put in a word for you if you're bringing quite a lot of conference income into the institution. The internationalisation agenda, well, I could go on to this for quite a long time, but in many ways, our subjects are fundamentally international. But we tend to keep our international contact to ourselves. And we need to think about making our international reach part of the university's assets. And if we can do so, then that demonstrates impact in a way that is positive to the university. It may well be that we have contacts in a particular part of the world which enable us to increase the flow of international students to the university. Very, very useful. It may be that we have particular expertise that we can help other departments to send their students on study or work trips abroad. We do that all the time, but we don't as much as we should offer that kind of support outside of our own programs, but we could. There are lots of ways in which we already do an internationalisation agenda, and we need to think about how we can spread that to other parts of the university, so that we will be valued not just for what we do, but for what other people we are able to do. And obviously, exploitation of intellectual property is something all universities are now thinking about. Can you commercialise anything that you do? I'm sure almost every department is currently thinking about that. Now, we tend not to invent cunning widgets that power the internet, which our engineering colleagues do. But there may well be other ways in which we can attract income into the university. And that will certainly be put in the annals, because you're then talking the language of the majority of vice chancellors. So that's the end of my story of where we are with impact. It's not just about telling stories that the rest of the panels are going to take notice of. It really is about impact at every level, from the most local to your own university, right through to the national and international. They're all interconnected, and they can all contribute to a story. And more of you.